This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And visit us, you have been, as I was looking at my Google Analytics report yesterday, 56% traffic up year over year last month. So appreciate all the listeners and people directing to the website and coming through with the inquiries. We love to see those questions about the homes and get people out there and helped and good responses to them. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you been?
Getting colder. I like it.
Yeah, a little bit in those mornings.
Man, upper 30s.
Yeah, we have had we had a good run, though. That was one of the better Septembers I ever remember. So it scares me, though, because I know that means the wind is coming soon.
This is true.
So
I did start tapering off my sprinklers a little bit in anticipation of shutting those off here soon. So, yeah, I'm getting ready for this colder weather.
Absolutely. It's shocking that we're into that fall season. And last week's show, we talked about still being able to sell by the end of the year. We put together a bunch of great contracts in the last week and a half, and I've got some new inventory to talk about. We always like to start off with our crazy house story of the week, and this one is coming out of Colorado, and this is in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and a gentleman, not many people would build a house just to see how it looks, but Jim Milstein wanted to see what an asterisk-shaped house would look like. So he actually built an asterisk-shaped house. So then he put an Anasazi-style tower in the middle of it to look like the famous Anasazi ruins. And I actually had to look that up. And those are the Pueblo ruins that are in like the mountainsides of Utah and Colorado. And so crazy to see an asterisk-shaped house. Tom, I don't think I had ever seen one before this story.
I don't think I have either.
Once again, you and I think of appraisal issues. But it's 2,600 square foot house, and a lot of the home is built underground, made out of reinforced concrete. It's almost like a bunker.
Well, it would have to hold the unusual shape of it.
Absolutely.
The whole idea of that just gives me a headache.
Yeah, it's crazy, but a pretty amazing pictures. Two of the six spokes are bedrooms, so at the end of the asterisk spoke, per se, you've got big, tall windows that look out into the mountains. So very, very cool pictures if you wanted to check that out. That home is for sale, 2,640 square feet, for $849,000.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
So not, I mean, compared to some of the crazy house stories we see, not too bad of one at all.
I got to guess there's probably some good hiding places around these little corners of that house.
There's some very cool overhead loft type areas. And yeah, it is very, very interesting situation.
I would say the guy probably priced it there because he realizes, good luck selling this.
It's going to be unique for sure. So I think he's got a price pretty appropriately. I don't know that market very well, but from some of the things we see, I'd hate to try to rebuild it for that price. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So, folks, this week's topic, one of the things Tom and I are always doing and looking at is looking at what's going on in the market, looking at some transactions we've had in the past couple of weeks, and bringing those topics to the show. And one of the things that we get a lot is we have folks that come up and say to us, you know, I'm trying to consider, should I be renting or should I be purchasing a home? And we go through that process with folks a lot, and we've been pretty sensitive to that recently because there's some very important things to consider with that. And one of the most important things to consider that we wrote down is that just because you own a home, even if you owned it outright with no mortgage, it doesn't mean that it would be free to live in. And so there's some costs in there that we are always going over with folks. And one of them, before we delve into some of the details of the topic, the number one thing that we come up with that we tell people is time period. I mean, every single time, that is our first option, because the time period that you're going to hold that house and the reasons to purchase it emotionally will make probably the largest impact on that decision to purchase. And so why that is because there are some costs that are sunken into the purchase of a house. When you go to purchase a home, you're going to have closing costs. You're going to have real estate agents' costs. And then when you go to sell, on the other side of it, you're going to have real estate commissions again. You're going to have excise tax that you have to the state. You're going to have title insurance costs. So what happens is that can be upwards of 9 to 11% of a purchase price. So let's just look at, say, a $100,000 home. And if you needed to resell that 2 years after purchasing, you would have sunk costs of between $9,000 to $11,000. That's where this equation and situation becomes problematic, because what you're looking at is, okay, if I bought a $100,000 house 2 years ago, what would it be worth now? If you look at appreciation rates that you're at there, you've got to take into account that on average, we're looking at 2 to 3% in Tri-City. Some years better, some years not as good. So that $100,000 house, you know, year two might be worth $102,000, or year one into year two might be $104,000. Well, that $4,000 in appreciation does not come close to covering the $11,000 in sunk costs that you would have. And that's why we say time period is the most crucial element to look at when you're deciding rent versus buy. Because in a market that appreciates like that, we always tell people for Tri-Cities, kind of our break-even point that we're looking at is around 4 to 4.5 years when you're looking at transactional costs. Now, there's a lot of other things to go into the equation, but I just wrote, you know, big exclamation mark asterisk beside time period being that one. We've had in the last, and the reason why this topic came up for the show in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been on appointments with people and they like, I bought a year ago and I need to sell my house now. And my very first question initially is, why? What happened? Okay, because financially, I know this isn't going to make sense. There's got to be another factor here. And usually it becomes some life-changing event that could not be foreseen. You know, job transfer or job layoff or somebody got sick or you decided to, you know, maybe your kids had kids. So now there's grandkids that they didn't expect in another city. And so they're going to be there closer to them. So we're always evaluating and looking at that and saying, okay, if time frame is the issue here, now we know roughly the amount of years we're looking at a break even. We can consider some of the other costs, because once we go beyond that time period, we get into a lot of information that points to the benefits of buying. But time period in the first initial mark, you'll hear us a lot of times on the phone in the office say, I know it sounds strange coming from a real estate agent that makes money buying and selling, but you'll say, I think you might want to rent. And people are always shocked when they hear us say that. But based upon these analysis, we'll talk to people. And if it doesn't make financial sense, they're on a 2-year contract at Hanford or consulting or not full time yet or permanent. A lot of times you can rent and be money ahead. Now, I know before we got on the air, I was talking with Tom. Before I go into some of the other points of rentals, Tom, you had done some research prior to the show on this, and you had some great studies and information about this exact topic that you came up with.
Yeah, Lance, I found an article published by Forbes, and they are referencing a study done by Trulia, which is kind of the sister company of Zillow, right?
Yeah, and actually now combined. Zillow bought Trulia, so they're now one and the same in ownership.
And so absolutely huge real estate search website. So Trulia, their chief economist, Jed Kolko, now he runs numbers to stay on top of trends between renting and buying twice a year. And so this is what he came out most recently. And the study concluded that nationwide, on average, it's 38% cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent a house. Now, I don't know if they're factoring in costs. It didn't really reference any of that. But I think they're more talking about if you got one house, if you're going to try to rent it or buy it, it's 38% cheaper on average to buy it. Now, this is different, though, in every market, because in some areas where, let's say, real estate prices are really high, it's not going to be that much cheaper to rent than it would be to buy. So, for example, across the nation, though, it does say that every single major metro market, it is cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent.
Wow. Okay.
Now, Honolulu, for example, which is the smallest percentage of how much cheaper it is to buy a house and rent, is only 5% cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent. Where if you look at Detroit, Michigan, it is 66% cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent.
Wow. So they have, depressed real estate prices. They've had a lot of people leave. So those homes have gone to, rock bottom in many cases. And so it would be 66%. So if you were stable in Detroit and wanting to stay, you'd be 66,
yeah.
You buy. Okay.
Absolutely. And so if you kind of just think about and conceptualize this, it's going to be a mixture of low housing prices and high rents. So you think about this $100,000 house that I'm looking at, what could I buy it for versus what could I rent it for? And in Detroit, you're going to buy it and your payment's going to be 66% less than what it would be if you were going to rent that house. So that really plays a big factor. Now, their model, what they said, it assumes assumes conservative price appreciation. But as we all know, Lance, it's not always conservative appreciation. Sometimes you have these big jumps and these big drops. And so every market's going to be different. But I thought it was interesting because every market across the entire United States, this study says it is cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent. Now, this was interesting, I thought. So as interest rates rise, it becomes more expensive to own a home, right? Because your payment's going to be higher. So on average, across the entire nation and every market they did this study on, rates would have to rise to 10.6% for renting to become better than buying a house.
Okay, so we've had a lot of talk and speculation, even on the show and with the feds, that, rates could go to 6% next year. And and if they did, it would kill the housing market. But when you really get down and grind out the numbers, this study is showing that it would have to go to 10% before, across the board, it would make a difference.
Yep, exactly. And we haven't seen rates that high since 1989. Now, in some markets, like, say, Honolulu, rates would only have to rise to 5% for it to make more sense to buy. And I think we're probably, we don't have the Tri-Cities on this list, but I think we're probably in the middle. I bet we're real close to what the national average is on this study. Now, I did one other just kind of quick calculation. Lance, we both have rentals, and I love the 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, $150,000 house. I mean,
yep.
It's my ideal rental property. So if I'm comparing, like, the people who rent for me, and I rent that house out, on average, $1,250 to $1,300.
Yep, exactly.
And if someone was to buy that house, just using really generic numbers, they could have that payment for less than $1,000. So if you look at the numbers, that's about 30% higher.
Yep.
It's marked up to cover the rent. So, like I said, I think we're right on close to average of that 38%. But on this study, everything leads to it is cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent.
Tom, that's great studies and great information. We're coming up on our first hard break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about doing that analysis between buying versus renting and looking at some of those break-even costs here in the Tri-Cities.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been kind of looking at rentals and the perspective between renting and buying here in the Tri-Cities. And Tom, I've got some exciting news for you, too, along the idea of this topic. And that is, as kind of our expanded avenue of services, is we now have a property management division at the Kenmore team.
That is awesome.
And so we've got just we've opened up a second brokerage. We were able to purchase a portfolio of properties here in town, and so we've got now over 50 units under management, up and running, and we have a fantastic manager, RJ Lang, running that division. So,
you know, Lance, what I love about this is, you know, we're in the business. We're in the rental business ourselves, and we have people come to us because we're the experts at what we do. And I love that you've created this segment to, after you've helped someone secure an investment property, they can now turn to you and get the help to actually run that business.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just kind of a natural evolution with what we've been doing, and it was a great opportunity at the right time. You know, the missing link is I always wanted somebody that was treating those properties exactly like we would like to. And so, you know, it was just good timing where we were able to purchase some new incredible technology over the last couple months. I've learned a lot about my own stuff just by there's some amazing upgrades in technology that is changing how that property management business is run. We're going to do in a couple months here a complete show on that, so we can talk about that. But that really just kind of heightened our sense to renting versus buying. People always kind of laugh at us a little bit and, you know, make fun in a kind of a fun way, but they say, you know, gosh, I just heard you get off the phone and tell that guy that he should go rent a house. You know, we're in the sales business. You know, don't you think he should buy? And my response always is, absolutely not in every situation. And so we're always saying, okay, if that client is going to relocate or has the possibility of relocating in the next 2 or 3 years, let's help them get into a rental. We now have that process in-house. And in case that job transfer and stuff does come through, that's the right thing for them financially. And so one of the things that comes up a lot is, what costs are we not thinking about in that situation? And so before the break, we had talked about time period and transactional costs, meaning that you have some cost to purchase and you have some cost to sell, and you need a couple years of appreciation in the market to cover those costs, or you have to put sweat equity type improvements into a property. Something has to drastically have changed the value of that property, or you need to look roughly at 4 to 4.5 years of appreciation to cover some of those costs. The other thing that we talk about is, when you write a rent check, that's it. That's your cost. It's an easy equation when you say, okay, I've paid the landlord $1,250. What else is the landlord paying out of that amount? A lot of times people forget about property insurance. So the landlord's having to carry property insurance on that property, and there's another monthly cost that runs, you know, in the range of $50 to $80 a month for that landlord. So that's coming out of that rental amount. The one I think that a lot of times gets underestimated or ignored, and this is also a good equation when people are looking at buying, and that's maintenance costs. So we look at, okay, if you have a $100,000 house, what percentage should I look at that I'm going to have to spend on that house every year just to keep it in its current condition? Well, you know, there's different financial planners and lots of gurus out there that tell you. Industry standard says that that amount shakes out to be 1% to 2%. So $100,000, $200,000 house, you should look at between $2,000 to $4,000 a year just in maintenance.
Well, and Lance, that could be low some years and it could be high. I mean, think about if your HVAC goes out 1 year and your tenant calls and it's July and they have no AC. guess what? They're not going to sit around and wait for you to write that check till September. You got to fix it right now.
Yeah, and that's going to be a $7,000-$8,000 repair that comes out of there. So that's figured into those costs. So if we stick with 2% roughly, then we're looking at now roughly on a $100,000 house, another $2,000, another roughly $167 a month that we're looking at there added on to that. The other thing to consider is property taxes. When you're renting, a lot of times people don't consider that. But even if your house is paid off and you own it, you've still got that property tax amount in there. So when you look at that property tax amount, in the Tri-Cities, we use rough rule of thumb that right now property taxes run about 1.3% of house value. So in our equation there, we're looking at, $1,300 a year roughly in property taxes. So all of a sudden we're looking at these costs that we have going on here, and we're looking at, if we don't even consider a mortgage on this and rental, we've now just come up with roughly another $400 to $450 costs of coming out of the landlord's pocket when you're in that situation. So where Tom had mentioned, rents roughly $1,250, but they're owning for about $1,000. Some of those costs are inputted in there to where the landlord is having to pay those costs out. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the numbers that people are not considering when they're looking at that amount. And so when you run that whole equation and you look at that time frame, you go back to the original thing we started with, and that is, how long are you going to be in that house?
Lance, I got another perspective to give to you. I just ran into this real life situation, just happened. Had a doctor I sat down and met with, and he wanted to get pre-approved for $450,000. Very, very well qualified guy. But at the end of our meeting, he said, I think I might move home to Canada in 2 years. And I said, okay, well, what are you going to do with this house in 2 years? He said, go, I'll just rent it out. And so then we started having the conversation of, does this $450,000 house make a good rental? Or should you possibly consider, if you're adamant on buying and converting into rental, should we actually consider maybe more of a $200,000 house? And is that going to be a better rental property for you? And you know what he did? He came back with a real estate contract for $180,000.
That's great advice. And this is exactly the type of things we're talking about for these scenarios for this show. And like I said, that's why you get with somebody that is in the business. On top of being in the business and doing that daily with what's going on, you and I are bringing the added perspective of, we own these type of properties ourselves. We're doing this. So we're able to give the advice like, okay, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Here, you might want to go over to Lance, talk to this property management division, say, what kind of rent can I get for a $450,000 house? Because there's a scale there, and it's not dollar for dollar. Just because you can rent a $200,000 house for $1,800 doesn't necessarily mean you can rent a $400,000 house for $3,600. It's not a one-to-one type scale. Mm-hmm. And so, you know that, Tom, because you're in the business and looking at that and analyzing that. And I gotta say, in that situation, I think by downselling that client into half the amount of loan they were talking to you about, half the amount of house, you probably saved them a $50,000 to $60,000 mistake.
Yeah, I agree. And Lance, you touched on it earlier, we get paid to do this, and yeah, it's probably no surprise that someone buys a $400,000 house. I make more money than a $200,000 house. But at the end of the day, it's just the right thing to do for the client. And that sticks with him, and it sticks with his friends and family. And it's all about just doing the right thing for the client and making sure we have their best interests in mind.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you bringing that example. I had no idea that you were also bringing that to the show. So I think that is just an amazing representative of the exact topic that we're talking about. So if you have any questions at all about renting versus buying, we covered a lot today. We go over those calculations with our clients. We gladly point you in the right direction. If you have properties that are currently for rent that you have questions questions about how property management might work with that, please also go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us over an inquiry. We'll get you to the right person to talk to in that division. And most importantly, before I leave here, I wanted to touch on some real quick, some new inventory, because it, like I said, there's still time to sell. We've got some great new listings. Number one, 318 Greenbrier East. These homes do not come up very often, and that is on the golf course at Meadow Springs. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath Rambler, almost 2,200 square feet. So it's 2,200 square foot Rambler on the golf course. You want to talk about having a huge lawn that stays green and perfectly manicured all year? Buy on the course and someone else will take care of all that for you. So it's really a beautiful setup. And that house is priced at $290,000. So that is a really good value to get you on the course at Meadow. Pick number two, 404 East 5th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath house that we have. Almost 4,000 square feet in Kennewick. It's got hardwood floors on the main level, super big, bright living room, partially finished basement, new HVAC, new siding. So you're getting almost 4,000 square feet, coming in at $159,900.
Wow.
So that, I mean, that is a lot of house for that price. And then pick number three, 5518 Pimlico in Pasco. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath house, has amazing views, sits up on the bluff in West Pasco. Once again, large home, almost 3,750 square feet, hardwood floors on the main level. You've got a great big bright dining area that opens up into the living room. You've got den office on the main level, big master suite. So, and then you've got portion of the unfinished basement that you can finish off any way you'd like to. And that's coming in at $325,000. So 3,750 square feet, newer home for that price. There is good inventory back there. We're seeing a little bit increase in the amount of inventory on the market, which we need. So if buyers out there that have been frustrated, haven't been able to find what they want, please go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'll get you over to Tom at Umpqua to look at the financing. And let's put you in a home. And we'll be right back here next week, Tom.
Right here on News Talk 870.